And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. You are listening to the Refresh Radio program with Bob Arthurs. That would be me. This is a program that is brought to you by the Saints at Merritt Assembly of God. We have a few businesses that help us out a little bit from time to time, but primarily it is the ministry of Merritt Assembly of God that funds this radio program. But if it wasn't for WMIE, even though we would, you know, have the funds set aside and I could have a microphone and I could talk into it and everything, you wouldn't be able to listen to it because it's very important. There's a transmitter. There's all sorts of equipment throughout the room. This week is the spring offering fundraiser for WMIE. And I want to give you this telephone number. It's 321-632-1000, 321-632-1000. If God lays upon your heart a desire to help fund the hidden expenses, if you will, the things nobody thinks about. You know, people think about preaching and they see the glamorous side of pastoring, which is preaching. That's the fun part, in all honesty with you folks. Preaching is the fun part. But they don't see all of the things that go on behind the scenes. Well, the spring offering takes care of all of those things that nobody really pays attention to until you go to hit the station on your radio and you hear this. And if you are like me and after you've heard minutes of silence, you're over there, you're trying to turn up the volume and all that sort of stuff, and you don't hear anything, then you know that something has broken, something needs to be replaced. Ministry has a logistical side. It has an anointed side. But especially in 2023, with all of the technology that is out there, you would better be in a position to replace the technologies that malfunction as quickly as possible. Several weeks ago, we had a Sunday morning where we showed up at the church. A storm had come through that weekend, Saturday night, and it had knocked out our internet to our sanctuary, and thus we weren't able to live stream. Now, we were in a position we were able to replace that. That's the type of stuff that the spring offering helps take care of here at WMIE. So if you'd call in and say, hey, we want to partner with you for not the next 60 years, but for 6 months, and say we'd like to contribute X number of dollars for the next 6 months, and that will continue to cause the radio program to function and the anointed word of God to go forth and not miss its mark, because God's word never returns to him void. It always strikes the mark, makes the impact that God wants it to have. So 321-632-1000, when you call, that will get you in touch with Danny. If you are not the first one in line and it goes to a voicemail, leave a message. He'll call you back as soon as possible. But tell them you heard about it on the Refresh Radio program, because it's one of the two times a year where we get some feedback from the radio station and saying this person called in and said they listened to the Refresh Radio program. I'll just be a little on the competitive side, just a little. And so it would be fun if more people called and supported the Refresh Radio program than any of the other programs on the air on a national level. That would be just a really cool thing. It's not anything that's going to make a hill of beans to anybody, but it would be something that would be a note of encouragement to us. 321-632-1000. Let's make sure that all of the practical needs of ministry are met so the spiritual effects of ministry can take effect in people's hearts and lives. So to Acts chapter 18 we go today. Acts chapter 18, we had come through verses 1 through 4. We commented on verse number 5 on yesterday's program, but that's where I'm going to begin reading today. It says, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Now, the New International Version and most other versions said devoted himself exclusively to preaching Jesus is the Christ. But when they, the Jews, opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. For I have many people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be reason why I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names in your own law, look to it yourselves, for I do not want to be a judge of such matter. And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. So I want to start today by going back to Paul's mindset, where he had devoted himself exclusively to preaching that Jesus is the Christ. I need to prepare you, because even though you may be devoted to something and may be compelled to do something, it does not mean that everyone is going to be open and receptive and happy with the activities to which you are devoted and committed and compelled. There may be opposition that arises because we serve a very real enemy. If we are doing nothing for the cause of Christ, then there is no need for the devil to oppose us, because there's nothing happening anyway. I mean, he might want to try and destroy your faith just because you have faith. But for him, the bigger concern is, are you going to be doing ministry in such a committed manner that it is going to be negatively impacting the kingdom of darkness, to where people are abandoning darkness and embracing the light? If you're doing nothing, there will be very little opposition to you doing nothing. So, people may be opposed to the word of God, which compels you. One of the translations said that Paul was compelled by the word. Another translation said that he was compelled by the Spirit, here in the New King James Version, compelled by the Spirit. They may be opposed to the Spirit, which compels you. We live in a spiritually combative season. The spirit and the flesh are constantly warring against one another. Truth and deception are battling one another. Life and death are battling one another. So we need to be prepared that there may be opposition, even though we're compelled by the Spirit. So, and then the last thing that I have here is that there are people who will even be opposed to the Savior who compels you. Now, if God is for me, it doesn't really matter who is going to be against me. I'm going to go ahead and do that when God has given me a word, and it's a compulsory word. I don't know if I've ever told this story. This was not Merit Assembly of God. It was a different church, and God laid a message on my heart, and I said, I don't want to preach that message. And I'm not going to preach that message. And God said, yes, you are going to preach that message. And I said, no, I'm not. And he said, yes, you are. And he won. So I will remind you of my rule, and that is, if you are ever in an argument with God and you win, you've lost. And if you are ever in an argument with God and you lose the argument and you do what God tells you to do, then you've won. So I found myself preaching a message that I didn't want to preach. And the results of me preaching that message were exactly why I didn't want to preach the message. There was a tremendous altar call. People responded, but not everyone was supportive of the message. And it ended up being a very challenging season. So here's what I want to tell you is if you find yourself devoted to the ministry of the saints, devoted to preaching Jesus Christ, living out the gospel, and there's opposition, I want to prepare you for how to respond to that, and that is follow the word. Follow the word. If you find yourself doing the right thing but being opposed by people, they are going to use their mouth. It says here in verse number 6 that they opposed him, they resisted him, and they blasphemed him. They blasphemed. Blasphemy means to speak evil of or to speak abusively about. So in some parts of the world, people of different faiths use blasphemy, use this concept of blasphemy as a means to end people's lives. And you say, well, that's completely and totally unacceptable. It's unheard of. And I will tell you that there is a new degree of orthodoxy socially that is taking place here in America now, where you are not allowed to speak in a manner that disagrees with many people's opinions. And they have taken that and they have elevated your opposition to their message to the level of blasphemy. And so you could lose your access to social media. You could lose your job. You could be marginalized or canceled. And that's the same concept. That's the same concept. Now, there is a spiritual blasphemy that takes place. And that is, if you speak evil about the Father, and a lot of people have done that, and I want you to understand something. That is a forgivable sin. The letter of Jude says that people blaspheme or speak evil about things that they do not know or they do not understand. There are a lot of people who speak evil or speak ignorantly about. They speak in opposition to or abusively about Jesus. There are churches that are mainstream here in America where the message about Christ that they preach is not in alignment with the Word of God. And so they have damaged the Word, and they speak in a manner that is beneath the lordship and the dignity and the worship, the authority that Jesus has. I want you to understand that that is forgivable. And if you do either one of those two things, the Holy Spirit will be ministering to you, convicting you of your sin, pursuing you with the truth, because God does not want any to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. The Holy Spirit is the member, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. Okay? The ministry of God the Holy Spirit is to bring you to that place of repentance where you will accept Jesus' sacrifice, ask him to cover your sins and wipe them away with his blood so that you can be reconciled to the Father. The Holy Spirit always points people to Jesus. Jesus always points people to the Father. Jesus said that if you blaspheme, if you speak evil of or speak abusively about the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, that that's an unforgivable sin. And here's how you know if you've ever done that, the Holy Spirit's not going to be convicting you, not going to be dealing with you in a manner where you would come to repentance. Because if you reject the Holy Spirit, there is not another method and not another ministry whose sole purpose is to bring you to that place of awareness of who Jesus is so that you could repent of your sins and experience the revelation, the glorious revelation of Jesus Christ. And a lot of people, actually, there was a ministry I heard about years ago. Not ministry is kind of a misterm there. There was a program that was created intentionally so that people would go and intentionally blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Now, I think that that is sick. For a person who is devoted to bringing people into relationship with Jesus, that there are people who are facilitating blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, I find that reprehensible. I will tell you, there were an abundance of trees in the Garden of Eden, and there was only one that they weren't supposed to touch, as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they couldn't feast on all of the other trees before they said, oh, I cannot restrain myself. Look at it. It's got to taste good. Now, listen, I've had people tell me that it was a good thing that they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if they didn't do that, how were they ever going to know the difference? I want you to know that in Oklahoma, we had a term for that. That is baloney. That's a garbage theological position. Disobedience to God is never a good thing. And so if God tells you do not do something, he means do not do something. And so people were speaking evil about and speaking abusively about Paul, who was simply the messenger. Up to this point in time, if you remember up in verse number 4, it says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. In other words, there was a dialogue that was going on. There was a discussion. They were discussing things with one another, and you need to be prepared for this. If you are having an open and honest and frank discussion with someone, there may be a topic that you come upon that is going to be a very sensitive area in someone's life, that they are emotionally attached to it, or you begin discussing something that they have deemed more important than Jesus. And just to prepare you, if you ever have that happen in a conversation, it may produce an intense reaction from those people. They will suddenly bow up in opposition and resistance and begin to say all sorts of things. And so you and I, we have to guard our heart. Our mission is to speak the truth in love, ready to give an account for what we believe, instant in season and out of season. We need to be able to reason together with them. But if they reject the message that has been spoken in truth, spoken in accordance with the Word of God, and yet they're so emotionally attached to something or so entrenched in something that that they begin to rise up and attack you as a result of that because they've deemed their position more important, their opinion more important than God. So I'll give you just a little bitty, innocent, non-spiritual illustration. I was in a conversation with someone, and when I was growing up, my parents would sometimes, not all the time, but they would make these homemade fried fruit pies. And they kind of look like an empanada, only they didn't have any meat or anything like that in it. They would stuff it with a fruit filling, and then they would deep fry it. And I'm not going to lie, they were really good. And they would stuff them with various things. And one of the fruits that they would put in there were apricots or apricots, depending on where you're from and how you say it. They would make peach pies, and I liked the peach pies, but I was never a fan of the apricot pies. And so I was having a discussion with a person who was familiar with fried pies, and I said, what I think it was they were at a retail store, and somebody said, hey, would you bring me back some apricot fried pies? And I made a comment, something like, well, go ahead and give them my share because I don't really like the apricot pies. I like the peach pies. And it was, what do you mean you don't like apricot pies? Is there something wrong with you? How could you dare not like something that I like? And my response was, look, I'm not here to condemn you for liking apricot pies. I'm just telling you that if you put down a selection of apricot fried pies and peach fried pies, I'm going to eat the peach fried pies. You can eat the apricot. I don't feel bad for you. I don't feel deprived. Go for it. But they felt very emotional about that. People, you need to, we've all got to come to the understanding that our opinions or our preferences do not rise to the level of absolutes and convictions. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. That is an absolute truth. And as a result of that, that's the truth that I am constantly trying to get people to understand. There are different churches, and there are preferences in those churches. Some like it cold, some like it hot, some like it quiet, some like it loud, some like it more traditional, some like it more and more of a ritual, some of us like it spontaneous or extemporaneous worship. Some people like it very contemporary. Listen, if there is a dichotomy, you will find it not only outside the church, you can also find it inside the church. And so if you find yourself in that situation, remember to conduct yourself in love and follow the word. My goal is not to always be right. My goal is to win people to Jesus. I've been in discussions with people before that the only way that you could ever end a discussion with them, the only thing that was acceptable to them was if you told them, you're right, I was wrong. Even if they were wrong, the only thing that they would settle down about is if you said, you were right, I was wrong. And that could be on something as to what direction the milk faced in the refrigerator or something like that. It just doesn't have to be anything serious. Folks, the absolute standard is the Word of God. Not my opinion, not your opinion. And so we need to follow the word of God, especially when dealing with opposition. Paul went on and it said he shook out his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. And what I want to conclude with today's program about is this. When you've done everything that you can, when you've spoken the truth, you've spoken the truth in love, you've been reasonable, and people have rejected that and now have positioned themselves in opposition, then you just make a declaration, I've done my best, you made your decision, the benefits and the consequences of your decision are now yours. People, I know a person that says this, look, they're a grown adult. They don't need me telling them what to do. They can make their own decisions. I'm just closing out the program today. I hope you make a decision to support WMIE. 321-632-1000. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Joyful noise to the Lord of the the earth. Make a joyful